receiving emails 24/7. You can email us at podcast@radiosurvivor.com. You can subscribe to our show as a podcast anywhere.
My name is Eric from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Lithuanian composer Martin Rock engineers the collision of ambient noise and cinematic forces in his music, and we'll venture into deep space with him on the next Deep Threes. Plus, music from Christina Pato, VJ Iyer, William Onyebor, and Nina Cherry. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Matthew Tombers of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Greene County lawmakers are considering legislation to ban polystyrene or styrofoam countywide. Cairo Representative Republican William Lawrence has been working on the legislation for several years and believes the timing is now right to take action. He said, and I quote, "Originally, the bill for styrofoam focused on chain stores, but I think it's time we do away with it," end quote. Lawrence worked with former U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Regional Administrative Judith Ink on the latest version of the law. Ink, a Cairo native, made a presentation on the proposal to the Greene County Legislature August 7th. Ulster, Albany, and Suffolk counties, as well as New York City, have already banned styrofoam, Ink said. She said, and I quote, "I think we should remind everyone that we want to keep Greene County green," end quote. Ink said restaurants can switch to alternative materials for takeout containers, such as aluminum or cardboard, adding that many businesses have already made the transition. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said a concern that county officials had when they last considered the idea of a polystyrene ban was the expense of alternative products. Legislation Chairman Patrick Linger agreed. Linger is a Republican, and he represents New Baltimore. He said, and I quote, "How much regulation can we put on local businesses if it's going to be a hardship? If it happens on a state level, it's an even playing field," end quote. No action was taken on the proposed ban, but legislators were asked to review the document. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Albany Times Union reports that on August 8th, the Public Service Commission approved Berkshire Cable Corporation for cable and internet franchise agreements in Ankrum and Austerlitz. Quote, approving these franchise agreements promotes consumer choice and provides new service offerings in their respective communities while enhancing competition in the telecommunications marketplace, unquote, said Public Service Commission Chairperson John Rhodes. Berkshire Cable Corp. will provide cable television and internet with speeds from 25 megabits per second to up to 1 gigabyte per second to homes in the two Columbia County towns. They'll compete with Charter Communications there. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union.
Chris McKenna is reporting for The Fray. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado, John Patrick Maloney, and Paul Tonko joined more than 200 of their fellow House Democrats in signing a letter urging Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to bring senators back from recess to vote on two gun control bills following the El Paso and Dayton mass shootings. The letter read, and I quote, "We know background checks save lives. Everyday background checks stop more than 170 felons and 50 domestic abusers from getting a gun," end quote. The bill would increase the time for criminal background checks and would require a gun dealer to conduct a background check before two people are able to transfer ownership of a gun. The Democrat-led House passed both measures in February. Maloney, a Cold Spring Democrat and member of the House Gun Violence Prevention Task Force, said in a press release August 8th that he is calling on McConnell and Senate Republicans to, and I quote, "find the courage to do what's right," end quote, and approve the bills. And I quote, "anything less is negligence," end quote. Read the full story at The Fray.
Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Republicans will get to keep their seat in the Ulster County Legislature as Brenda Maloney, the widow of former Ulster County Legislator James Maloney, was appointed August 8th to fill the rest of her husband's term. Democrat Brian Cahill withdrew his name from consideration at the last minute. One Democrat and one Independent voted with all Republicans to keep a seat with the GOP. About 20 years ago, another legislator's wife was appointed after a death, and Republicans cited that as a precedent for why they should hold the seat. Maloney represents District 4, including the town of Kingston and some of the town of Ulster. Cahill previously said he wanted to be appointed to the interim seat and that he is running in November for a full term. Cahill says he was told Republicans wanted to leave the seat open for the rest of the year, and that's why he threw his hat in the ring. Quote, "Leaving the district unrepresented was not an adequate solution to me and grossly unfair to the residents of District 4, unquote, Cahill wrote in a letter read in the legislature before the vote. Cahill faces Republican Andy Levin-Turco in November for a two-year term. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the Dutchess County Legislature is expected to establish an animal abuse registry and approve legislation that would regulate the tethering of animals. Both measures were passed by the legislature's Government Service Committee this week and are expected to be voted on by the full legislature August 12th. The tethering law will regulate when and how long a dog could be tied up outside in inclement weather. Government Services Chairman Will Truitt said during the next legislative session in Albany, there will be a push to establish a statewide animal abuse registry to provide the communication between counties about anyone with a history of animal abuse. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Carmen Henriquez reports in the Columbia paper that it was standing room only at a July 23rd public hearing in Germantown about a proposed new ethics law. Henriquez writes that, quote, "many of the speakers commended the board for their efforts to put an ethics law in place," unquote, and then quotes many speakers with less flattery. Quote, "this law terrifies me," unquote, said Pamela Wallace. Speakers mentioned contradictions and omissions in the text or just disagreed with parts. Tony Albino said, quote, "we can all agree clearly this has serious flaws the way it stands now," unquote. The proposal is on the Germantown website under the Code of Ethics. The next public hearing on the proposed law is at 6:30 p.m. August 13th before the regular town board meeting. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper.
Dennis Slattery is reporting for the Daily News. State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins is now calling out Governor Andrew M. Cuomo for the unfulfilled promise to create a state ammunition database, once a key part of the 2013 SAFE Act. While the governor spent the week touting the legislation, he managed to sidestep questions about the delayed database, which led Stewart-Cousins challenge the administration feet-dragging. She said, and I quote, "My conference has continuously led the way on smart gun laws. We certainly think that this database should get done quickly, and with California figuring out the technology, there should be no more reason for delay," end quote. Beau Duffy, a spokesman for the New York State Police, said getting the database up and running is a priority, but a tricky process. Duffy noted that the differences between the systems that gun sellers use in California and New York pose an infrastructure issue for integrating a state database for ammunition sales. Cuomo senior advisor Rich Arzapati said Stewart-Cousins is welcome to craft legislation if she thinks of a way to speed up the process. He said, and I quote, "If the majority leader has a better way, we would review any bills she has, but we haven't seen any," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily News.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that on August 8th, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed three bills into law meant to strengthen protections for survivors and victims of domestic violence. One law adds to the definition of domestic violence crimes by including economic abuse, such as identity theft, grand larceny, and coercion. The second law lets victims of domestic violence vote by mail-in ballots, and the third lets victims report abuse to any law enforcement agency, regardless of where the crime took place. Quote, "By signing these measures into law, we will broaden the legal definition of domestic violence so more abusers are held accountable, as well as empower victims to help get help faster and provide them a measure of protection from their abuser when they vote," unquote, Cuomo said. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. The Albany Times-Union reports that thunderstorms blew through the Hudson Valley August 8th, knocking out power to thousands. Columbia County, 4,246 homes lost electricity, and in Rensselaer County, 832 homes were without power. The storms peaked in the late afternoon, and once they were gone, brought in pleasant temperatures without humidity. Highs are not expected to top 80 degrees all weekend with sunny skies. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Sunday with a high of just 75, low around 58 Sunday night. Monday should also be mostly sunny with a high near 80. Then there's a 30% chance of rain overnight Monday, low around 64. Again, a chance of showers on Tuesday, a 60% chance, possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 75 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Sunday, August 11th, a Kingston-based traditional Indonesian ensemble, Catskill Mountain Gamelan, will play bell and gong-like instruments with singing, flute, and some non-traditional songs as well at the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale from 3 to 5 p.m. Now in its 13th year, pianist Armin Donnellian and saxophonist Mark Momas's immersive Hudson Jazz Workshop culminates with a concert at Hudson Hall featuring renowned saxophonist Billy Drews. Drews performs with Donnellian and Momas alongside an international lineup of workshop musicians performing original new works created during the workshop process at Hudson Hall at the historic Hudson Opera House from 4 to 6 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org and clicking on the calendar link at the top of the page.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 GHz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer 2.4 GHz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff. And that's what we're going to do today. Talk about some more books. How has your summer of reading been?
Good. I've read a lot of books. I'm still getting through Darkest Part of the Forest right now by Holly Black.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, actually. It's better than the other fantasy genre that I read from this one.
From the Battle of the Books.
I'm liking it better than Six of Crows.
Yeah, that one, I mean, Six of Crows had a list, so that was a plus. But because Amelia likes her lists and descriptions and lots of characters.
Yeah, I do.
But this one seemed right up your alley. I was excited for you to read it.
It's very, very fun.
Can you tell our listeners what it's about?
It's about this girl and her brother, Ben, Hazel and Ben, who live in a town called Fairfold, where humans and basically fairies or the folk live side by side. Basically, everyone in the town knows that the folk exist, and everyone in the town knows to, like, be wary of them, to respect them. Every so often, the town has tourists that will go missing because they don't know how to respect or treat the fairies in the woods. And one of the main legends of the town is this horned boy who is sleeping in a glass coffin and has been
like
there for
Sleeping
as long.
Beauty.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
who's been there for as long as anyone can remember. And then one day he wakes up and mysteries start happening, strange things start occurring. The fairies start acting in the ways that, like, people aren't sure how to react to.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazel and Ben have to figure out what to do. Because they used to pretend to, like, be this boy's knight. They were always sure that they were going to be the one to wake him. Now that he's awake, they don't know what to do.
It's so fun. I really liked that book a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was going to, because I'm not always that into the folk. The fairy stories. Or elves. I can't remember what they're. There's something. Something magical. Fantastical.
It's all that kind of, like, stuff.
So I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. One of our Battle of the Books books for this year.
Yeah.
And that's coming up on August 16th is when the teen battle is. So we just have a couple weeks until battle. So we're going to start practicing, doing some trivia questions. Fun times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be at Columbia Green Community College this year.
It's going to be on the home turf.
Yeah, shout out to Columbia Green Community College, or I think they go by SUNY, what is it? SUNY
I'm not
Columbia.
Sure.
Oh, no, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another name they go by now.
Oh.
But I still know them as Columbia Green Community College. But either way, they're great for hosting us this year. We're really excited to be there. Again, we had a battle there maybe a few years back. It was fun and a nice short commute.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. There's also a middle grade battle, although Hudson, our library, does not have a team.
Oh.
But that will also be there, and that will be on the 17th.
Yep.
So, fun, fun, fun. Lots of summer reading. And I'm doing a lot of summer reading for Battle of the Books, too. But I'm reading different books than you, because I'm on the committee that helps narrow down selections for next year. So I just read tons and tons of teen books in the summer.
That sounds like a lot of fun, honestly.
So I actually read all of this year's selections last summer, except for Darkest Part of the Forest. But then I read that this winter.
Huh.
So I had to write questions for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I've read a bunch of really good teen books recently. Some I've talked about on the show, and some I've mentioned that I read on the show but haven't really talked about. So I thought I could tell you a little bit about those. One that I really liked that I just read and I listened to on audio was Little and Lion by Brandy Colbert. And it's about a young woman named Suzette who is home from boarding school. She goes to boarding school in New England. She lives in Los Angeles. So she's home for the summer from school, and she's not really sure if she wants to go back in the fall or not, both for reasons at school and for reasons having to do with home. And so she's back. She lives with her mom and a man who is more or less her stepdad. Her mom and her stepdad didn't get married, so he's not officially her stepdad, but she considers him her dad. Mm-hmm. And then she also has a brother through that mingling of families.
Yeah.
So his name is Lionel. So that's Little and Lion is Lionel is Lion and Little is Suzette. Huh. And so that's what they call each other. And before she went to school, he had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and things had been going fairly well while she was gone. But then during the summer, he decides to go off his medicine, and there's some things that happen with that. She feels like she needs to be there for him. And she also is sort of settling back into her life at home, and she meets a new crush and also starts dating another crush. So she has an interesting love life going on back home, and she had a complicated love life at school. So she's sort of balancing out where she wants to go from here. Is she needed at home, and does she want to be at home, or does she want to go back to school? So it's a nice story. It's interesting seeing this sort of blended family where so Suzette and her mom are African American, and Lion and his father are white and they're Jewish. So she and her mother have taken on Jewish religion and culture.
Sounds
and, you know,
really
people see her and her brother on the street and don't immediately think they're related, or see her with her father and don't think they're related because they have different skin tones. So there's interesting things with that, too. And then it's not complicated not being married, but it's, I guess it's somewhat complicated. Like, people don't always understand that family can be family even if there's not marriage involved.
Yeah.
So there's that, too, which is interesting. And then she has two summer crushes. One is a young man and one is a young woman.
Huh.
And the young woman that she has a crush on, her brother also has a crush on. And so that there's that little added complication, too. But it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. And the audio was great. I read another book called Monday's Not Coming by Tiffany Jackson. And it takes place at the start of a school year. And our main character, Claudia, has been gone for the summer. And she's not very well connected technology-wise. She doesn't have a cell phone. So she's been apart from her best friend Monday for the summer and hasn't been in touch with her. And she goes back to school and Monday's not there. And nobody seems to know where Monday is or worry about the fact that she's missing. And so it's sort of this mystery that she's trying to solve of, like, what happened to Monday? Why can't she reach her?
Hmm.
And Monday's mother isn't very cooperative of getting her in touch with her. And so she's concerned about her friend and then also feeling really lonely because she and Monday were tight. They're inseparable. They didn't have a large friend group. It was just the two of them. And so it sort of shows her, like, trying to figure out what happened to Monday and then also finding her new place in school in her community without her best friend.
Hmm.
And it's an interesting story. I had no idea what was going on. I, too, wanted to know what happened to Monday.
Hmm.
So that suspense helped pull you along, too. But it's also nice to see Claudia kind of branch out and kind of make some new connections. And then currently I'm reading a book called Marrow Thieves by Sherry Dimmeline, which I can't remember. I think I started reading it a long time ago and then had to put it down for some reason. And so I'm going back to it and really enjoying it. And I may have talked about it briefly on the show before, but basically it's set in North America. I believe it's set in Canada, but I can't remember if it specifies exactly where they are. And it's in the future after global warming has basically destroyed a lot of the country and the way of life. And in addition to rising waters that have changed the landscape and changed the way that sort of everything works, one of the things that has come as a result of this catastrophe is that humans have lost the ability to dream, except the indigenous population.
Oh.
And so now we're in this world where the indigenous people are being experimented on and trying to be tracked down to get at what will get people back their dreams. And so the story follows a young man named Frenchie, and he meets up with some people who become kind of like his found family or companions, and they're struggling to survive on the run. So they can't stay anywhere too long because they'll get tracked down and captured, and they have to find food and shelter and clothing because they're all young people, so they're all also like growing out of their clothes and having to, you know, so there's a lot of hand-me-down action happening. So it follows them in their struggle to survive. Yeah, it is really interesting. And I feel like it has a lot of moments that touch on things from history, the history of Indigenous people in North America. It's an interesting book. I'm only halfway through, so I know from the description of the book that there's some interesting stuff ahead still. I guess it's not a spoiler since it's from this description. The part I haven't hit yet, it says, "For now, survival means staying hidden. But what they don't know is that one of them holds the secret to defeating the Marrow Thieves." So that's the part I haven't gotten to, what the secret is and who the holder of the secret is.
Huh.
But I can't remember if I mentioned that part. So it's found at some point, the scientists figured out that the secret to the dreams is contained in the marrow, the bone marrow of Indigenous people.
Okay, I feel like you may have told me about this book before, but I was like having this vague moment of like, I feel this sounds familiar. Isn't there bone marrow involved?
Yeah, so that's why it's called The Marrow Thieves by Sherry Dimeline. And actually, all three of these books I've been listening to as well as reading, because I do this thing where I listen, and then when I feel like reading, I just find my place. So I'm like, well, in the audio, I was at this chapter, so now I'll find that chapter in the book.
Yeah.
And I kind of make my way along. And all three audiobooks are great. Good narration. Good reading. Fun. That's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to read once Darkest Part of the Forest is complete?
I'm probably going to tackle one of the other battle books. I did recently get the latest Wings of Fire book, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that is extremely tempting, but I need to...
August 17th sounds like a great day to start Wings of Fire. Right after the battle.
Yeah, yay. I probably will.
Yeah, we just got that at the library as well. Very exciting. Dragons for everybody. So, why don't we move on from talking about what we've been reading and what we're wanting to read and talk about some books that are coming out soon that sound exciting. I can tell you the one that I've been waiting for the longest, and it's finally here. There's a book called Pumpkin Heads by Rainbow Rowell and Faith Erin Hicks. And so Rainbow Rowell is an author who writes novels. She wrote Eleanor and Park and Carry On and Fangirl. And recently she started writing for comics, which is fun. She's been writing the Runaways series. And this time she's partnering with Faith Erin Hicks, who is one of my favorite graphic novel writer and illustrators. And so Rainbow Rowell's the writer for this, and Faith Erin Hicks is the illustrator. And here's the description for Pumpkinheads. Deja and Josiah are seasonal best friends. Every autumn, all through high school, they've worked together at the best pumpkin patch in the whole wide world. Not many people know that the best pumpkin patch of the whole wide world is in Omaha, Nebraska, but it definitely is. They say goodbye every Halloween, and they're reunited every September 1st. But this Halloween is different. Josiah and Deja are finally seniors, and this is their last season at the pumpkin patch. Their last shift together, their last goodbye. Josiah is ready to spend the whole night feeling melancholy about it. Deja isn't ready to let him. She's got a plan. What if, instead of moping and the usual slinging lima beans down at the succotash hut that went out with a bang, they could see all the sights, taste all the snacks, and Josiah could finally talk to that cute girl he's been mooning over for 3 years? What if their last shift was an adventure?
Ooh.
And it sounds fun. The description isn't, like, blow my mind exciting, but the fact that it's Rainbow Rowell and Faith Erin Hicks, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I know they'll do a great job. Do you want to share one?
Oh, yes. I forgot I had some here, too. You have The Downstairs Girl by Stacy Lee. By day, 17-year-old Jo Kwan works as a lady's maid for the cruel daughter of one of the wealthiest men in Atlanta. But by night, Jo moonlights as the pseudonymous author of a newspaper advice column for the genteel southern lady, Dear Miss Sweetie. When her column becomes wildly popular, she uses the power of the pen to address some of society's ills, but but she's not prepared for the backlash that follows when her column challenges fixed ideas about race and gender, while her opponents clamor to uncover the secret identity of Miss Sweetie. A mysterious letter sets Jo off on a search for her own past and the parents who abandoned her as a baby. But when her efforts put her in the crosshairs of Atlanta's most notorious criminal, Jo must decide whether she, a girl used to living in the shadows, is ready to step into the light. With prose that is witty, insightful, and at times heartbreaking, Stacey Lee masterfully crafts an extraordinary social drama set in the New South.
Mm-hmm.
I've gained like a new appreciation for historical fiction after going through AP US History, because now I feel like I understand a lot of stuff better, especially after our final project, which was basically taking a movie and historically contextualizing it.
Awesome.
So while I don't think I would have been as into this as I thought I would prior to 11th grade, but now that I actually know the context around the New South and what it means, this sounds very interesting to me.
That does sound really good. And I'm always curious because I wasn't that into historical fiction as a teen.
Yeah.
And so whenever there's historical fiction like that that are written for teens that come out that sound really good and get really great reviews, I'm always like, are people going to read it though?
Yeah.
Like, will you pick it up?
Thank you, AP US History.
Yay. So I have another one called Hello Girls by Brittany Cavallero and Emily Henry. Winona has been starving for life in the seemingly perfect home that she shares with her seemingly perfect father, celebrity weatherman Stormy Olsen. No one knows that he locks the pantry door to control her eating and leaves bruises where no one can see them. Lucille has been suffocating beneath the needs of her mother and her drug-dealing brother, wondering if there's more out there for her than disappearing waitress tips and a lifetime of barely getting by. One harrowing night, Winona and Lucille realize they can't wait until graduation to start their new lives. They need out. Now. 1 hour later, they're armed with a plan that will take them from their small Michigan town to Chicago. All they need is $3,000, fast. And really, a stolen convertible can't hurt. Chased by the oppression, toxicity, and powerlessness that has held them down, Winona and Lucille must reclaim their strength if they are going to make their daring escape and get away with it.
Hmm.
I've heard this compared to Thelma and Louise, the movie, which was an adult movie about two women on the run who are escaping bad situations back home. So it's like a road trip.
I've never heard of that movie.
It came out maybe in the 90s. I'm not sure. And it's not geared towards teens, so it makes sense.
Oh, yeah,
you wouldn't have heard
it. Probably.
But should
it
be fun.
It does sound a bit intense.
Yeah. Mm. But the getaway part sounds fun.
Yes. I love a good getaway narrative.
Mm-hmm.
The Merciful Crow by Margaret Owen. I'm just going to say that this is like not only has a list, but it's the second book I've talked about on the show that has the word crow in it and also has a list in the description. So that I find that very interesting.
Cool.
A future chieftain, Fie abides by one rule, look after your own. Her crow cast of undertakers and mercy killers takes more abuse than coin. But when they're called to collect royal dead, she's hoping they'll find the payout of a lifetime. A fugitive prince, when Crown Prince Jasimir turns out to have faked his death, Fie is ready to cut her losses, and perhaps his throat. But he offers a wager that she can't refuse. Protect him from a ruthless queen, and he'll protect the crows when he reigns. A too cunning bodyguard, hawk warrior Tavin has always put Jas's life before his, magically assuming the prince's appearance and shadowing his every step. But what happens when Tavin begins to want something to call his own? Interesting.
Oh, we got really good reviews too.
Cool.
So, and has a cool cover. So these are all new or upcoming releases that sound very good. So you can, for those that are out already, you can check them out at your library or your favorite bookseller.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones you can at least put in your order for your hold.
Yeah.
To get it
your
in the future.
Two-read list.
Keep an eye out for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to take a break for a little bit and listen to some music. If you're listening on Thursday, this is it for this week. But for those listening Sunday, stay tuned for more book talk.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll soar the length of our bodies. We restore what we cry. We are nothing if not your granddaughters. We've been nothing but dignified. We brave bit stings and all. And we don't dive, we cannonball. And we splash our eyes full of chemicals. Just so there's none left for little girls.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily, and I'm here with Amelia.
Hi.
And we've been talking about some books, and now we're going to shift to our other favorite thing to share.
Poems.
Poems. And we got a bunch to share with you today. Do you want to start us off with one?
Sure. This one is Untitled. I don't know if it's actually called Untitled, if you've just never got a title. It's by James Baldwin. Lord, when you send the rain, think about it, please, a little. Do not get carried away by the sound of falling water, the marvelous light on the falling water. I am beneath that water. It falls with great force, and the light blinds me to the light.
That's really nice.
It was pretty. I like that one.
I love James Baldwin, but I'm more familiar with his prose writing as opposed to his poetry. But he just had a birthday recently, and so poets.org was sharing some of his poetry. So it was nice to get a chance to read that. I have one called I Ask My Mother to Sing by Lee Young Lee. She begins, and my grandmother joins her. Mother and daughter sing like young girls. If my father were alive, he would play his accordion and sway like a boat. I've never been in Peking or the Summer Palace, nor stood on the great stone boat to watch the rain begin on Kunming Lake, the picnickers running away in the grass. But I love to hear it sung, how the water lilies fill with rain until they overturn, spilling water into water, then rock back and fill with more. Both women have begun to cry, but neither stops her song. That's from Rose by Lee Young Lee.
Ooh. This one is called Knoxville, Tennessee by Nikki Giovanni. I always like summer best. You can eat fresh corn from Daddy's garden and okra and greens and cabbage and lots of barbecue and buttermilk and homemade ice cream at the church picnic and listen to gospel music outside at the church homecoming and go to the mountains with your grandmother and go barefooted and be warm all the time, not only when you go to bed and sleep.
Hmm.
That one's perfect for the season,
yeah,
I think.
That one's very summery. Reminds me of the things that I like about summer.
Yeah.
Although I actually prefer to go to bed feeling warm in the winter.
Yeah, actually.
In the summer, I like to go to bed feeling nice and cool from the fans and everything. Mm.
In the summer, especially like before you get your air conditioning up and everything, it's hard to sleep because it's very hot and you want to be under your covers, but you can't.
We use fans at our house and I love the moment where I wake up and I'm cold and I'm like, yes. And then I pull a blanket on. I don't mind waking up for that moment.
Yeah.
It feels so good to be able to like get nice and cozy under a blanket.
Yeah.
In the middle of summer. So I have one called The Sky Over My Mother's House by Jaime Manrique. And it was translated by Edith Grossman. So it was originally written in Spanish.
Hmm.
It is a July night, scented with gardenias. The moon and stars shine, hiding the essence of the night. As darkness fell, with its deepening onyx shadows and the golden brilliance of the stars, my mother put the garden, her house, the kitchen, in order. Now, as she sleeps, I walk in her garden, immersed in the solitude of the moment. I have forgotten the names of many trees and flowers, and there used to be more pines where orange trees flower now. Tonight I think of all the skies I have pondered and once loved. Tonight the shadows around the house are kind. The sky is a camera obscura, projecting blurred images. In my mother's house, the twinkling stars pierce me with nostalgia, and each thread in the net that surrounds this world is a wound that will not heal. And that is from My Night With, or Mi Noche Con, Federico Garcia Lorca.
Ooh.
By Jaime Manrique. That's pretty.
Yeah.
I like poems about summer. Who knew?
Yeah.
I might really like nice. Them more than I like summer. They remind me of all the things I actually do like about summer when I'm dealing with the heat, the unbearable heat of summer. It's nice to think about the things that aren't unbearable.
Yeah.
That are very nice. I'll read one more. Unless you want to read one more.
I can read one more. I'm going to read Nothing Twice by Wislawa. Oh, that's a lot of consonants in one order. Wislawa Szymborska. Let's go with
that. Sounds good.
Nothing can ever happen twice. In consequence, the sorry fact is that we arrive here improvised, and we leave without the chance to practice. Even if there is no one dumber, if you're the planet's biggest dunce, you can't repeat the class in summer. This course is only offered once. No day copies yesterday, no two nights will teach what bliss is, in precisely the same way, with precisely the same kisses. One day, perhaps, some idle tongue mentions your name by accident. I feel as if a rose were flung into the room, all hue and scent. The next day, though, you're here with me, I can't help looking at the clock. A rose, what could that be? Is it a flower or a rock? Why do we treat the fleeting day with so much needless fear and sorrow? It's in its nature not to stay. Today is always gone tomorrow. With smiles and kisses we prefer to seek a chord beneath our star. Although we're different, we concur, just as two drops of water are. I like it when poems rhyme. I know they don't always have to rhyme, but it's just satisfying when they do.
Yeah, I find sometimes the rhyming feels forced and then I don't enjoy it. But when it's a natural sounding rhyming, I like it a lot, and it stands out, because generally I'm drawn more to the not rhyming poems.
Yeah,
but I like that one. Lovely. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but thanks everyone for listening. We hope you have a great week with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week with some more.
Yeah,
take care. Happy reading.
Bye.
Here to Go Radio. The fourth Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m. Why are we here? We are here to go. Here to Go Radio.
Here to go here.
90.7 FM WGXC. We'll be right back.
just heard Umar Kanate with Heya Deo. This is from the indestructible beat of Soweto from 1986. Udukatila Shange Namajaha with Soba Bamba.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
This is Aaron Pednati, and I'm talking to you from the Rally to Shut Down Detention Centers in Glens Falls, New York. And I'm talking to world-renowned author, activist, and founder of 350.org, Bill McKibben. Bill, thanks so much for this interview. It's great to be talking to you. I wanted to ask why you came here today.
Well, I mean, of course, all Americans who stop to think about it are saddened and really heartbroken by what's going on down the border. But those of us who work on climate issues may have our own special reasons. The climate crisis and the immigration crisis overlap in very profound ways. We know from great reporting in the Times and elsewhere that hundreds of thousands of people have had to flee the highlands of Guatemala and El Salvador because they've had an unprecedented drought, precisely the kind of thing that scientists tell us will happen as the planet warms. In fact, the UN estimates that we can expect between 200 million and a billion climate refugees in the course of this century. So we better start figuring out something to do other than building a wall and tossing people in cages. It's time for us to recognize that people are having to leave through no fault of their own. They're coming from places that didn't pour carbon into the atmosphere like we did, and we better figure out how to make sure that we have some kind of working way to welcome people.
There's a cover story on the New York Times today about the threat to the global food supply that climate change poses. And it says that hundreds of millions of people might lose access to food in the very near future if we don't do something. And if that goes down, we're going to be seeing a lot more global turbulence in terms of migrations. And the type of anti-immigrant energy that we're seeing in the U.S. right now is alarming in that regard. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess the good news is we're seeing a lot of pro-immigrant energy, too. People really pouring out to try and stop the travel ban, try and close down these camps. It's one of the things that the Democratic candidates in this year's election have been outspoken and strong about. So I guess we're going to see. It's going to be a real test of our character as a country, one of the issues that will obviously decide the next election. But as I say, it's likely to get more intense as the century wears on. You know, there's not walls high enough to keep hungry people from trying to feed their families.
So at the event we were just at, we just walked over to Elise Stefanik's office and were protesting and demanding action on detention centers. And there was a group of Trump supporters out there that were chanting hateful slogans. They had a megaphone with a siren attached to it that was blaring in our faces. And there was a feeling of almost incipient fascism. And in the face of the chaos that we're potentially facing as a civilization, there's a growing anxiety, particularly on the left, that that type of energy might become much more salient and a powerful influence on society in the very near future if the types of disruptions that climate change could bring about go unchecked. What do you think about that tendency, sort of looking into those faces? And
I think that one of the great gifts of the 20th century was nonviolent social movements. I think they're extraordinarily powerful. I think we've barely begun to sense their power. And that's what I spend my life building, places like 350.org and things. And so I think we need to double down. Nonviolence is a tool of enormous power, but it requires lots of people using it.
So what's your sense of the future? Do you think it's possible to be hopeful? Are you cautiously hopeful? Are you dire and dystopian? How are you feeling about things right now?
I'm never good at figuring out what's going to happen in the long run. I don't spend a lot of time being optimistic or pessimistic. Just get up in the morning and go to work and see what we can do. And I mean, there's obviously movements building strongly. Obviously, the science around things like climate change is very hard, and that's driving a lot of what we see in terms of things like immigration. So those things are all hard truths. We'll see if we can catch up with it. It's going to take everyone moving fast. And one of the next actual moments for everyone to do this is September 20th, when Greta Thunberg has asked and her young colleagues have asked adults to join the climate strikes that they've been running for over a year now. So September 20th is a day of all ages climate strikes around the world. It'll probably be the biggest day of climate action ever. So that'll be good.
Okay, and one last question is, the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, for which I am interviewing you, is a Capital Region-based news radio show. So for Capital Region folks, what sort of recommendations do you have about locally based climate activism, the most pressing issues in this region right now?
Well, I mean, the truth is, I mean, there's lots of people doing good work at local levels, and that's really important. Almost every town now has some kind of climate action committee. There's 350 groups up and down the Hudson, so on and so forth. It's really important to be working there, but it's also really important. I mean, they don't call it global warming for nothing. So some of the time we need to come together globally and really put pressure on those institutions that can write the rules at a level high enough to make a difference.
So your sense of it is that we ought to be thinking globally more than locally?
I think we ought to be thinking both. Think globally, act globally, think locally, act locally. Just get in the game.
Do everything you can.
There you are.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Bill.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you. It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to hear?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
The Cellar and Point call themselves a garage chamber septet, and we'll hear their jazz infused with flourishes of electronics and rock on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Johnny Greenwood, Louise Rossiter, Core, and Kirill Platonkin. Deep Threes.